Sadia came out from the bathroom wearing the baggy t-shirt and purple stretch pants. She was unveiled and had, I saw for the first time, chin-length, ringleted hair. The cafeteria lady, gathering dishes from the corner table now, looked her over with an expression of contempt. I returned her expression, and she scowled and looked away. I could guess at the source of her disdain. Sadia was dirty and scrappy and Muslim, while the cafeteria lady was immaculately dressed and Christian. Sadia's suicide attempt would be seen most likely as nothing more than attention-seeking, a way to gain entry to the office where refugees weren't normally received and secure an audience with resettlement staff. On another occasion, a senior manager told us that a refugee who had attempted suicide by throwing himself in front of a car was just having a tantrum. He sent an email out to say that we should not respond to such behavior or encourage it, that refugees who behaved like this were merely trying to manipulate us into being resettled into the West. My colleagues, upon receiving the email, mumbled in agreement. Suicide attempts, another staff member noted, are just a way to jump the queue. Your hair is lovely, I told Sadia. Without the veil, she seemed even younger. When I'd met her before, she had appeared feisty and stubborn. Now she looked vulnerable, scared. I reached my hand out to comfort her, then let it drop. This wasn't my role, I'd been reminded over and over. I was to stay removed, assess her case impartially, unemotionally, put forward for resettlement only if I was certain everything she said was true. She sat down. She was tiny. Her legs were shaking. I stared at her. She was barely more than a child. Sadia's adoptive parents, I knew, had died when she was 12, and after that, she had lived alone. With no one protecting her, men broke into her house and raped her. She had become pregnant from the rape and was 13 when her daughter was born. The baby's only name was Fazia, since her father and grandfather, like Sadia's, were unknown. When Fazia was 3 months old, another group of men abducted Sadia from her house, leaving her daughter behind.